Welcome to episode 63 of the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We have two of the four mommies on the line today. I'm Natalie. We also have Jennifer. And we are going to discuss not using timeouts to discipline our kids, plastic surgery for victims of bullying, and pregnancy weight gain, yes, again, and also being a MILF. I said MILF. So again, we have Natalie and Jennifer, and the other Natalie had her baby yesterday. We have some good news about that. We want to congratulate the Gafori family. It's another boy, and he's beautiful. She has these perfectly plump, perfectly faced little babies. Her babies never looked all squishy like they just came out of the womb, don't you think?
Well, it's there because they're C-section babies.
Right. Yeah.
This one was scheduled, so it hadn't been, you know, hanging out in the birth canal as much. So, but yeah, they look like little cherubs. They're beautiful. And this one was extremely healthy at 8 pounds, 12 ounces. And yeah, just had the most beautiful coloring and looked so happy. It was already sucking his thumb. So it definitely gave me baby fever.
Did it really? Well, you're on your way. You're on your way. 16 weeks, right?
Friday. Yeah, 16 weeks.
Yeah. So, well, we're so happy to have another baby beta in the lineup. I guess, should we say her name? Say his name? Sorry, I just closed a door. That sounds like a ghost. It's not a ghost.
I don't know. I don't know if she's going to give him a nickname like she did with Nick. So I guess we can just leave it to her.
Okay. We'll just call him Baby Gafori. And yeah, he's a healthy boy. We're really, really blessed. So this is the podcast where we talk about things that we've been blogging about on mommybeta.com, and we all have been blogging a lot lately, but one of the posts that I wanted to discuss was something that I wrote, and it's part of my parenting book club, and there's information about that on the site. I hope you all join. I've been reading a book called Playful Parenting, and last week my son Miles turned 2, and so this is the time where we really have to think about how we're going to discipline him and what we think are the most effective ways, and we want to be consistent, obviously. And I had always thought that the timeout was a compassionate alternative to spanking. Now I'm beginning to reconsider that because this specific child psychologist had said that the timeout really enforces isolation on children when really the problem is that they are feeling isolated. And so I had to rethink this completely. And, you know, I'm not sure I completely agree that the timeout is not an effective way to go. And I had a lot of people write me on Twitter with their use of the timeout. And some people have some really good ways to use it, but I just thought that we could ring in and talk about, you know, whether or not we think this is a good idea. Now, I want to just say right off the top, you know, spanking is not an alternative for me. I don't intend to spank him. I know you say you can give Elle a little pat on the butt and,
No, not now. When she's old enough, like 6, 7, you know, toddlers they understand, but they don't understand to that point. And they're not going to understand the threat of a spanking except for the bad, you know, consequences of it and how it makes them feel and angry and all that stuff. So I was spanked as a child older, but I'm not planning on taking my toddler out and wearing her out.
Wearing her out. That's a saying I haven't heard in a while. Yeah. But I think you had said it at some point. Oh yeah. Yeah, I did. I
mentioned like your grandma that, you know, she had the spatulas in the kitchen, or my grandma had switches on a tree. You did not want her to get a switch after you.
Did you have to pick it out yourself?
Maybe once.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it's a different time. And, you know, I was talking to my dad about this, and my dad is a believer in corporal punishment. And he had said, well, you know, I don't know, this to him all sounds so soft and, you know, touchy feely. And like, we're letting the child dictate his punishment. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be firm, but I think this is a really interesting way to think of, you know, his main point throughout the entire book is misbehaving and acting out usually is some kind of misconnection. And so they're trying to tell you something. A baby can only communicate through cries. A toddler communicates through tantrums. An older child communicates through other types of misbehaving. So usually he likes to do this thing called a family meeting on the couch where they try and talk about, why did you do that? And, you know, what can we do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And of course, this is very idealistic. But at the same time, I thought about, there was in the first 2 or 3 weeks, we brought Miles' baby sister Ava home. He did something. He was hitting for a while. And I told him not to do it, and he did it again. And so and he was playing in the sun porch. So I said, if you do that again, then we can't play with you. That was kind of a tip I had got from Natalie. who had said, when Dominic starts to get rough, she just says, okay, we can't play with you. And she walks away. And I thought, okay, I'll try that. But I closed the door. And he was devastated because then he was in there by himself. And really, he was only acting out because he was already lonely because we had a new baby and he was feeling jealous. And so I closed him out and then I made him feel more jealous and more isolated. And so I feel really bad about that. And I thought, well, I could probably, you know, connect with him in a different way. And I had some people write on Twitter saying, well, use the timeout, but not in a different room. You set them and you're there with them still so that they understand the consequence, but you're not isolating them. You're having them experience a consequence. What do you think of that?
I agree with being in the same room with them because I pretty much keep Elle in the corner. And if she tries to come out, we say, no, get back in. And she turns back around. But as I commented on your post, and I think there's a time and place for timeouts. And I think the isolation you mentioned is key. And it depends on the emotions that they're expressing, what they actually did that results in what sort of punishment there is, or if there's even any punishment, like you mentioned. I mean, they are trying to explain their feelings. I think a hard part of being a parent is patience and sitting there and realizing that this little person's trying to talk to you and trying to tell you something rather than, I'm trying to nurse your sister, I have a headache, I'm tired. You know, it's one of those things where you just had to sit there and you say, okay, let's see what's wrong with you. What happened today, kind of thing. Whereas with Elle, if she's pouring milk on the floor, she's going to get a timeout for that because she knows that that's not the right thing to do. And she's not doing it because I'm not paying attention to her. I'm sitting there watching her, and she's doing it because she wants to see what's going to happen. And if she does it multiple times, then I give her a timeout, but not the first time. Just warnings. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And I think, you know, isolation is the big key. And this author in particular, he talks about trying to speak their language through either a game or something like that. And, you know, it's not all foolproof, obviously. These are human beings we're dealing with. But I think it's kind of a nice idea to think about. He talks about how a lot of times when a child throws a tantrum or starts to cry or is otherwise misbehaving, it's inconvenient for us as an adult, and we try and shut it down really quickly. And he says, you know, a lot of times they need to break down just like we do. And sometimes we should just let them break down, be there for them, and then you can discuss it later. He really talks about, you know, if you're going to let them cry, just don't let them cry by themselves because they're already feeling isolated. And I thought about my grandmother's crying room that she used to have in her house. When we got in trouble, we had to go to the crying room. And my husband points out, well, maybe that's why now you shut your crying down. You think that it's inappropriate to do it in front of people. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I kind of see it as a badge of honor that I won't cry in certain situations where it would otherwise be acceptable to cry. So mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I'm emotionally dead inside because of the crying room. but, you know, I
never knew that about you.
That I don't cry in public.
That you could cry in front of people. No.
I try not to. I
just never
know.
Thought of
it. Yeah, I'm tough.
Yeah, you are. You are a tough cookie. The tantrums get me because so we went to a really fun little class yesterday morning, and they had a bunch of different activities lined up. And she was the only child out of, I would say, the 10 toddlers in there that every time we had to put the toys up, she would cry. And she would scream and was not happy about it. And of course, the teacher's like, oh, she can keep one. I'm like, no, she can't keep any because she needs to understand. We give them back. We do something new, all that stuff. But I mean, of course, I'm going to let her cry and deal with it. And I try to explain to her during the moment, oh, we're doing something else. That's where we're putting them away. We're still going to have fun. But I'm still confused on what to do in those situations. You know, everyone's looking at you like, why is your child screaming?
Yeah.
Any advice there?
No, I don't know. You know, I think she's starting to say, like, I'm not ready for that is what she's saying. She wants to play some more. And so, I don't know. Like this author of this book talks about ways you can sort of make it a game to put things back, and then it's continuing the play. But eventually play stops, and there's not very much he has to say about when it's time to get serious. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll just keep reading. Maybe I don't have all the answers. It's just,
well, it sounds like this is an interesting book. It seems like you've been reading it for a while. I mean, I know moms, it takes me a long time to get through a book. Is it long or is it a quick read, or have you just been picking it up here and there?
Yeah, well, you know, I have the new baby, so it's a bit longer. Yeah, it's a long book.
Excuses.
I'm sorry. I know, I'll read faster. I really want to get to the bringing up bebe. And also, my next book is How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen. So maybe the two of those together, I'll have all the answers. I certainly don't.
I would like to read that. I did read the potty training book you recommended yesterday.
You did?
I did.
And what do you think?
I found it very interesting, very helpful, because I hadn't done any other research and I didn't know there were multiple methods of training. And it was nice to get a glimpse of all those in one book and sort of have a step-by-step guide, as opposed to, well, you might want to do this and you might want to do that. But I'm excited. It's one of those hurry up and wait things. Like, I'm excited to get started, but dreading how hard it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved your mom's comment on Facebook where she's like, she's ready. Go for it.
Oh, she thinks all her grandchildren are superstars.
Yeah. Which they certainly are, I'm sure. Well, let's talk about another post that got a lot of pickup in the mommy blogosphere. There was this post about plastic surgery for bullying victims. So there's an organization that's offering victims of bullying some plastic surgery, and this is not like a cleft palate or, you know, things that are deformities. It's just slightly. It's for children and teens, I suppose, with small facial deformities, offering to give them what they call a baby face. It seems well intentioned, but geez, it's just something that really rubs me the wrong way. What is your reaction to this?
Well, at first I thought, wow, this is a great organization fixing cleft palates. And when they say facial deformities, I don't consider that to be a big nose, you know?
Right.
That's not a deformity. That's just your nose. Unless there are some, you know, growths or something like that. I mean, there are some noses out there that may need some extra help. Or this one child they talk about that went to the foundation because she had really big ears and she wanted to have them pinned back. And they agreed to it. But then the surgeon also recommended that she have a nose job and a chin job. And she ended up doing it all and loving the results. But that's not what you would think that this would be all about. And I don't think we can change children and the way that they act. I mean, we can try to grow, like, raise them as young, I mean, you know, good little kids, and that they don't make fun of kids and all that stuff. But, I mean, to change the whole world, it's going to be really hard. But I don't think giving someone, like, a slight nose job is the way to fix it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think that is such a slippery slope where you start to say, well, you know, this person has just a slight, like I said, we can't even use the word deformity. This person right. is just slightly different than other people, but different enough. And how do you define different enough? And how do you teach your children that, you know, different is beautiful when we're changing different? So it's a really upsetting precedence, although it's hard for us to say because we didn't go through life with, you know, I mean, it's really hard to be beautiful. We know that, but.
Well, I've even, you know, considered, like, not even seriously considered, but thought, oh, hey, it'd be nice to have a little shave off my nose on this side. Or my husband says I'm crazy. But I think even post-mommy, many of us talked about what we do, like breast lifts and tummy tucks and all that stuff. But I mean, that's our money. And I think with an organization like this, there are a lot of people out there who need it. And for these deformities that we talk about, and it shouldn't be going to these small procedures that are just going to make you prettier as opposed to feeling normal.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So it's
like, you know, would you let your child have plastic surgery if, you know, their nose was, you know, larger than normal, or they had big ears and they felt like they were being bullied? Would you do it with your own money?
It's such a hard question because you'll do anything for your kids, right? You want to save them any kind of pain you possibly can. And I wrote about Miles had the little two things under his eyes that turned out to be juvenile xanthogranuloma, which we actually have an appointment today to go get them checked. And I thought, oh, is he going to go through life with these two little bumps under his eyes? And they look kind of like moles. And my husband's like, oh, those are unsightly. We should just have them lanced. And I thought, do we put him through that at such a small age just for something that's vain, you know, or do we expose him to that, or do we have him go through his whole life with this? I really was torn on that, and it turns out that they have gone away on their own. But, you know, it's such a hard question because my gut says, no, you know, don't resort to that kind of vain extreme measure. But at the same time, how do you say no to your child?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm in the same boat. My mother-in-law's a dermatologist, and Elle had a little teensy birthmark on her nose. I think I don't even know what it's called, but it's just like a little bit of a red mark when she was born with it, and we weren't sure if it would go away or what. And she's like, "Oh, I can laser that off." I'm like, "I'm not gonna have you laser my child's nose right now." I think if they got older and they were seriously unhappy, then yes, I would consider it if we had the funds. I'm not saying we would, but if we did, I mean breast augmentation is another whole other ball game. I mean, if my daughter was extremely flat and just did not feel like a woman at all, then I would give her a little boost, nothing like a D or anything like that. But you know, if it's really seriously affecting their serious self-esteem, then I think it's worth seriously considering if you have the resources to do it.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of those things you can only ever really, on a case-by-case basis, know how you're going to feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, well, let's thank our show sponsor before we move on. We have a new show sponsor, Drobo. They are the makers of really great backup products. We run Drobos in our house, and they are expandable and redundant backup drives. What that means is that you can get a Drobo tower and put as many drives inside of it as you need. You can get enough to really fill up your whole digital life. And we all take pictures of our kids. We need to be backing those things up. We don't have a choice. You know, the cloud is one way, but you should also have your own data that you own in your own house. And the Drobo is a great way to do that. We run that all the time, and we take, you know, videos and photos. It's also redundant. So if one drive fails, the other drives are taking on that data as well. So you don't have to worry about a crash. And you know that your laptop or, you know, your iPhone is not a place to store your photos. So most experts recommend three places to store your photos. You should put them on your laptop, but back them up to the cloud and back them up to the hard drive. And the Drobo is a really great way to do that. So make sure you head on over to Drobo.com and check out their line of drives. They have a long line of drives for any household, and it's really easy to do. They'll support you along the way. And we've had some issues because we were running different devices, and you know, we call the support line. They're really great about that. So make sure you check them out, Drobo.com, or you can follow them on Twitter. It's at Drobo. And tell them that the Mommy Beta podcast sent you. We thank them so much for their support. Moving on, Jennifer, speaking of vanity, want to talk about your weight?
Yeah, which is something, I guess, a couple of months ago that I was worried that I wasn't gaining enough weight. I know I'm that annoying person. And now that I'm pregnant, I can't stop shoving food in my mouth. I for some reason, I have cravings for comfort food and everything I'm not supposed to be eating when I'm pregnant. I don't know if it's because I was raised in the South and I'm just going back to my roots, but it's hard to monitor my weight. And my last pregnancy, I gained 50 pounds, which is crazy. I remember getting on the scale after my daughter was born and like just looking at the numbers thinking, wow, I never thought I would see those in my lifetime without a baby in my belly. And I have, I don't know if it's called fat goggles or what, but I don't notice that I look plump when I'm fat. You ever, you know, some people who are anorexic, when they look at themselves, they think they're fat. And then there are some people who are fat who look at themselves and think they're skinny.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm skinny, but I don't think I'm, you know, Oh, I don't think I look as bad as I do if I take a picture, say. But anyways, I'm trying to watch it more closely this time around, not starving myself, but just putting the right things in me. I think if I had an apple in the afternoon instead of a Hershey bar, that'd make a big difference. And so I was just putting it out there to see what other moms did. I think I remember from your first pregnancy, Natalie, you had said that your OB had said that you were tracking a little higher weight gain, and so you had to cut out the lemonade.
Yeah, but that was just actually I gained 28 pounds for Miles and 26 for Ava. So,
oh my gosh!
So I was right in the healthy in the healthy weight gain area. But I would have weeks of no weight gain, and then I would just jump 4 pounds, and then weeks of no weight gain, and then just jump. It was very odd. I wasn't the 1 pound per week kind of mm-hmm. weight gain. But, you know, I did feel like you pointed out here, you don't need that many more calories, but you do feel hungry because your body's working really hard to produce a person. So I made it a point to, I ate a lot of just trail mix with like nuts and dried fruit and stuff because I would feel hungry, but I didn't want to eat nachos because then I would feel gassy and disgusting. So I would just make sure I carried things like that so I'd get more bang for my buck. So I knew I was eating something caloric. And with full protein for the baby, but also would satiate me.
Mm-hmm. It's also getting active too. And did you work out throughout both pregnancies? I know you did with Miles.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I didn't know if you were in the burbs, it made it harder because you used to have a gym in your building, right?
Yeah. And so we got a gym membership out in the burbs, and we found a gym that had childcare, which was great, so I could bring Miles. And you know, I had all those back issues, so I kind of had to work out. But uh-huh. I just felt so bad if I didn't. So I made it a point to stay active, but I wasn't running any marathons. It would be just stationary bike for 20 minutes or half an hour. And it was good kind of meditative time for me as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think every little bit helps. And for us, I mean, I'd try to do a class. They have childcare, but they only have childcare in the mornings and there's usually things going on. So I've been trying to do something active with Elle every day, whether it's hopping in my in-law's pool or, you know, walking around an entire zoo. Uh-huh. But my one of the girls commented, Erin, on our blog. She says she has a little thing called MyFitnessPal, which is this app and website that you can track your weight loss. You've done something similar, like on Self with Natalie mm-hmm. Morris. And there's also the Fitbit that I think she tried out. I don't know if you did, but I guess I could look into it just to make sure I'm getting enough exercise. But it's definitely something I'm concerned about. Not overly concerned, but, you know, looking out for this time around.
Yeah, you have to. It's harder the second time because I feel like you show more and you're a bit more sensitive because you don't have the elasticity in your body that you wish that you did. And, you know, but also Natalie and I were talking about you're chasing a toddler, so you're naturally getting more exercise where you're not just sitting on the couch eating Jack in the Box like you might have been able to the first time. It's just not possible.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was working quite a bit because I was getting a lot of exercise in the first time because I was in the city, as were you. But in San Francisco, I was walking primarily most of my day when I wasn't at my desk. There's a lot of walking in the city. So I did get some of that, but Elle wants to be carried constantly. And I think she's probably going on 28, 29 pounds. So that's a workout. You're right.
Well, we talked about this when we talked about Jessica Simpson and, you know, should you be able to just gain weight when you're pregnant or do we do ourselves a disservice by allowing ourselves to gain too much weight? And it's a really fine line that we have to draw. But you found this this article about whether or not moms should have to be sexy. And I thought this was a really interesting article because, man, we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves to look good. And I feel anything but sexy most of the time, you know, and I'm leaking milk and my hair looks like a troll doll and I'm up in the middle of the night and it looks like, you know, sausages are under my eyes. Like, it's really hard to be beautiful and to be a mom when you're as busy as we are. But I don't know, why did you find this article so interesting? Because you do feel like being a sexy mom is a tyranny?
Well, I think it is something that is more expected these days, or people assume you just to bounce back. When they say 20 years ago, it was a huge step forward when Demi Moore, you know, she was on the cover of Vanity Fair. That sort of changed everything when she posed naked and was a mother and was viewed as being sexy. But before that, I mean, maternal and sexy were not anywhere, you know, related to one another. And so now it's sort of turned into something that women feel as though as if they're not bouncing back right as they should be. When you look at all these, I mean, every week there's post-celeb baby bods on, you know, on Us Weekly or those magazines, and you just feel as though, what are you not doing right? Or and like you just said, with like looking like a troll doll and all that stuff. Well, I've been feeling bad the past week because my husband comes home from work and literally my hair, I don't think I brushed it from the morning when I woke up. And I know he's in the city and I know he's walking around and seeing probably all kinds of cute little, you know, like 20-somethings, you know, dressed to the nines, going to their offices in their little mini skirts. And I'm just like, and he comes home to me looking like this. And I don't have time, like you said.
I do sort of. I was working in Manhattan a couple weeks ago, and I saw these 20-somethings who obviously were childless and had beautiful shoes and beautiful bags and enough time to put on their makeup carefully in the morning. And I felt jealous of them. And I thought, must be nice, you know, when really, like, if you put it in perspective, like, when I was that age, I looked forward to having a family and being married and, you know, but I also had the time to look, you know, as good as I wanted to back then. And man, that's it's a little twinge, right? You feel a little twinge.
It is, and top it off with your pregnancy weight gain.
Right, or your nursing boobs, and you think, oh, it must be nice for them. They don't have milk coming out of their boobs.
Well, you're very lucky to have that milk coming out of your boobs, but I know what you mean. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I should worship this milk, not feel like it's a tyranny.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I think it's just very important to me to be attractive to my husband. And I don't know. Just, I mean, he's always very sweet to me. And he always like, oh, you look amazing. It's like, right.
Yeah.
But this really kind of hit home for me because a lot of the hoo-ha around this started when Jennifer Gardner a couple weeks ago wore this one-piece suit. Did you see this article?
Mm-hmm.
This bathing suit 5 months after her birth of the baby, and everyone was praising her for looking like a normal mom, and they called it a mom suit and all this stuff. And it's sort of like, why does it have to be a big deal, you know, if someone's looking like they had a baby after they had a baby. And, you know, the one piece couldn't be just a one piece bathing suit. It had to be a mom suit.
Right.
Because she's a mom. So I don't know. It seemed really a little hyped up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And I feel the pressure when I go to a family event and I know people are going to look at me and think, oh, she just had a baby, you know? So I want that reaction like, wow, you just had a baby. That looks amazing. And so you're aiming for that and you think, God, it's vanity, you know, I'm doing the best I can right now.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. And I listened to the podcast of you and Natalie, I think it was last week, and you were talking about things you say to pregnant women, and you say, oh, you're all a baby. And Natalie's like, I totally won't believe you from now on. But it's true. It's funny that people say that, and then after you lose it, it's people probably say the same things if they're not crude.
Right, yeah. And maybe they're thinking, wow, you know, like her boobs are pointing forward, but, you know, they say nice things anyway, but you try.
And Natalie Gafori has commented on my boobs recently, I guess, with the new baby. But before that, she's like, oh, your boobs still look good. I'm like, thanks. You know, and one of the things I didn't understand before I got pregnant, before I had the baby, is you would read these articles and they would interview husbands of celebrities who'd had babies, and they'd ask them about their bodies and if they liked their new mom curves and all this stuff. And I distinctly remember one of the guys saying, her body is really just the same. It's great. It's amazing. It's just softer than before. And it was saying it was like a compliment, but now I know what he means.
Ouch.
Softer. Yeah. And I wouldn't want my husband saying that. Yeah, your boobs are a little squishier. Your tummy's a little softer.
Right. And it's hard because they don't really go through the changes. They still look as handsome as ever. So then you kind of resent that too, where you're like, must be nice to not have to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And I'm hoping to avoid the stretch marks. I don't know if they get worse the second time around, or I didn't really have any the first time, and I'm worried if I do get a lot of weight gain, then I'll get stretch marks this time around.
I think I've heard if you're prone to them, you get them. So if you didn't get them the last time, then you may not be prone to them.
Oh, good. Thank you. Makes me feel better.
I didn't really get them. So, I mean, I had other curses for sure, but thankfully stretch marks were not one of them.
Mm.
So, anyway. Well, do you have a little victory you want to share? I have one if you don't.
We can both do one. Mine's just really short, but I thought it was really cute. The other day, Elle and I were looking at a picture, and I said, "Who's this?" And she said, "You." And I said, "Who's this?" And she said, "Me." So she's learning her pronouns, and I just think that's such an interesting thing for kids to do, because we say it, but we don't know. You know, it's hard to understand or teach those things because we're using the opposite when we refer to one another.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day because Miles will say things like, you know, "Give that to Miles" or whatever. And I said, well, of course he speaks in the third person because we do. I'll say, "Give that to Mommy," or "Give that to," you know. And so, you know, he knows to speak in the third person. We're going to have to stop that. So good for her.
Yeah. What's Miles' little victory?
So,
or Ava's, either one, or yours.
It's Miles today. So I just picked up Miles from daycare a little bit early, and he was out playing, and his teacher came up and told me that a little boy, when they were out in the playground from another classroom, had come up to him and pushed him. And he looked at the little boy calmly and said, "Don't push me." And
she goes,
"How does he know how to defend himself with such maturity and calmness?" And I said, "Well, we try and tell him to just stand up for himself, but not to get mad." And she goes, and she was just very impressed with his ability to, you know, defend himself, but defend himself calmly. And I was so proud of him. And I saw him do that actually at his birthday party this weekend as well. There was a little boy, and he just said, "Don't push on Miles." So my little boy is he's got such maturity. He can just say, "Leave me alone, please."
Good for him. That's pretty amazing, because I've tried to do the same for Elle, because I've mentioned on the podcast, she's been a victim of pushing. And it just seems like I tried to teach her how to put her hands up, you know, and I just wasn't sure how to tell her to say, I guess, "Don't push me." But I guess you can just keep saying it over and over again to them and they might get it. Did you tell him what to say, or did you just say, "Stand up for yourself"?
You know, but I don't remember teaching him that.
Maybe Clayton's taking him into a room and saying, "Don't push me," and letting him watch Rambo movies.
Right. Or, you know, we say, don't hit people, don't hit Mommy, or, you know, don't push your sister or whatever. So, I don't know, he just figured it out for himself.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, the don't do this to your sister. And maybe his superheroes say it, too.
Right. They stand up for themselves. That's true. He's a big Avengers fan, and they seem to be able to articulate their needs.
I loved his Batman cape for his birthday party. That was so cute. Was he just wearing a shirt, or was he wearing a cape too?
It was just a shirt. It was just a shirt. He woke up on his birthday and said he wanted to wear a Batman shirt. So be it.
Oh, and your cupcakes looked beautiful.
I didn't make those. I delegated.
I thought you said you were baking something for
no. Oh, yeah. I baked cupcakes on his actual birthday, but for his party, my sister-in-law made these Dr. Seuss cupcakes, which were amazing. And I'll have to put pictures on Pinterest. So I'll post about our Dr. Seuss party. We were very good with the theme. It was fun.
Cute.
Anyhow,
can't wait to see.
Well, I got a little one. Speaking of nursing, who needs me? So we're going to wrap up the Mommy Beta podcast. Thanks so much. And, you know, ring in on anything you have to say about timeouts, plastic surgery, weight gain, being a MILF, all of it. We didn't really use the term MILF, but you know what I mean. And we'll be back here with more. Congratulations again to the Gafori family. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. We'll see you here next week.
See you later, Natalie. Thanks.
Bye.